You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm your host, Austin Meek. On the show this week, I sit down with Nancy Grayson, proprietor of Lula Jane's Bakery and Cafe on Elm Street, and a pioneer who's spearheading the redevelopment of East Waco. And we'll close the show with our segment, What's Happening Here, where listeners can connect with us on social media with their questions about property in Waco, and we dig up the answers. This week's property came via Facebook on our page, Waco Business News, and it's a historic structure downtown that's recently been renovated and is now on the market. But first, it's the word on the street. A big land deal involving multiple local developers could mean even more restaurant, retail, and hotel rooms close to Baylor campus. The 11th Street Partnership, a group headed by Shane and Cody Turner, Sammy Citrano, and Bland Cromwell, has been acquiring parcels between 10th and 11th Streets off of I-35 for the last 4 years. Now, some of that acreage has already been sold and built upon. We first saw a Freddy's Frozen Custard open up, followed by Raising Cane's, and most recently a Panera Bread. They're looking at national tenants, but if you're a local wanting to put in your concept, get in touch with them. One reason why they are forced to look for national tenants is because there is a dearth of locals giving them better options. Now, I know Shane and Cody Turner. These are the folks who have been behind the redevelopment of the Waco Hippodrome Theater and multiple other projects throughout the city, and they, like I and so many others, want to make Waco great. And part of what makes Waco great is that local flavor, something that's unique that you can only find here. Talk to these guys about how you can get involved in this space. A couple other locals are already doing it too. Raju Patel, who's a local hotelier, will be putting in a La Quinta del Sol. It'll be a 110-bed hotel that's an elevated concept over a La Quinta. And TFNB, which is a national bank, the first national bank of McGregor, actually, will be putting in a full-service location there at 8th and Cleveland, bringing some of their operations down closer to the students and the rest of the downtown populace. So a really big deal here, guys. So if you've got an idea but don't know how to implement it, there are free professional services offered by the Small Business Development Center at McLennan Community College, as well as through Launch, the Business Accelerator, through Baylor's BRIC program. According to Mike Copeland of the Waco Trib, spaces have already been sold to two locals with development ideas. TFNB Bank in McGregor will install a full-service branch at 8th and Cleveland, and hotelier Raju Patel will build a 110-bed La Quinta del Sol, which he describes as a top-tier concept from the national chain. And Restaurant Row along I-35 isn't the only place locals are getting involved. Lane and Ann Murphy recently acquired St. James Methodist Church at 2nd and Clay, according to the Trib's J.B. Smith. The couple owns an antiques business that may take space in the church, but the building could be used as a restaurant, event space, or even a playhouse. Lane Murphy said, quote, "We like the idea of helping other people start a business and grow something," end quote. Hey Waco, here's yet another opportunity for you to get involved, so get that business plan right and pitch the Murphys on why your concept would bring value to the neighborhood. In each episode of Downtown Depot, we'll feature a word of the week. Every industry has its own Vulgate, and the city planning and development world is no different. We want to increase your vocabulary so you can confidently converse about the things you see in your city. Our word for this week, or in this case phrase, is adaptive reuse. Adaptive reuse refers to the process of reusing an old site or building for something other than its originally intended purpose. The concept is a key factor in conservation, both in materials, because you don't need to buy new bricks if you can reuse the same ones, as well as land conservation, because you keep the same building footprint rather than demolishing and building new. Think of it as a compromise between historic preservation and demolition. If you look closely, you'll see adaptive reuse all around you. One of the most famous adaptive reuses worldwide happened in London in the year 2000. The Bankside Power Station, located on the south bank of the River Thames, had generated electricity for 90 years, and was converted into the new home of the Tate Modern Art Gallery. Ghirardelli Square in San Francisco was the first major adaptive reuse project in the U.S., opening in 1964. Waterfront structures that had been used for shipping docks and industrial warehouses were transformed into fabulous restaurants, bakeries, bike shops, and pocket parks. And if you happen to get seats in the left field bleachers of Petco Park, next time you're in San Diego watching the Padres, you'll notice that the historic brick structure of the Western Metal Supply Company was preserved and incorporated into the stadium's design. They took a building that could have easily been torn down and adapted its use into what is now the team's gift shop, luxury rental suites, a restaurant, and rooftop bleachers. And of course, the most famous example of adaptive reuse locally is Chip and Joanna Gaines' Magnolia Silos. What was once the Brazos Valley Cotton Oil Company is now the city's number one tourist attraction, Magnolia Market. The 120-foot silos were part of a cottonseed milling operation for most of the 1900s, and although they aren't open for the public now, you know Chip and JoJo have something interesting brewing. Show us your favorite examples of adaptive reuse on facebook.com/WacoBusinessNews and twitter.com/WacoBizNews, and we'll share some of our favorites. We're now joined on Downtown Depot by Nancy Grayson, the face of East Waco, one of its entrepreneurs. And even though she's recoiling as I say that across the mic, she knows she's part of the mojo that's flowing over there in East Waco. Nancy, tell us a little bit about your heart for East Waco, your knowledge of the history there, and what has made you start Lula Jane's and now these little housing projects you have coming.
Okay. East Waco. I've been in East Waco since about 1995, working on developing and starting the Rappaport Academy and an answer to educational needs for little kids in East Waco. And so I've gotten to know the neighborhood and been a part of the stream of the stability of this part of town, which people may not realize, but it's a wonderful place to be. And I have watched more buildings being torn down. I have watched businesses close, and all the time working up the street at Rappaport Academy. The richness of the history of East Waco is grounded in the fact that that is the original downtown Waco. And when the floods came, the 100-year floods, and there were boats going down Elm Street, people who could afford to moved across the river. And that left folks who generally either were so emotionally attached and culturally and historically grounded in East Waco and didn't want to leave, as well as the ones who could afford to leave, deciding, I want to be on the high side of the river. So I think that was the beginning of some of the change in East Waco. And a lot of people don't realize that this was downtown Waco. And that is
certainly... And so what years would that have been?
Well, that's before the bridge was even developed. There was the other side of the river as well. Uh-huh. But the real commercial crux of Waco was on Elm Street. And that would be in the mid to late 1800s. And so it did gravitate across the river. And the bridge facilitated more of that growth on that side. I like to call East Waco the other side of downtown, because we're not just across the river. We are downtown. And my hope in starting Lula Jane's was not – I wasn't eager to have a restaurant. I was eager instead to have a gathering point where people from all over town would come and experience the richness of East Waco, rather than some of them expressing a fear base of not wanting to go across the river. So – I thought maybe a restaurant would help that occur. So across the river, other side of downtown, we opened Lula Jane's with a goal of showing conservation. We're paperless for the most part. We have a water collection system. We have a vegetable garden to show gardening. And then an environment that's welcoming and joyful and hopefully draws people. And it's been enormously popular beyond what I had anticipated. So that's a lot of fun, seeing people come and have a good time and gather together and meet other people they've not ever met before.
What's been the most surprising development of Lula Jane's since when you started to where it is today?
I think the demand for what we offer and the demand for the space itself. Just never dreamed people would receive it in that way and that quickly. So a lot of folks who come from the highway or come from out of town for other events in Waco will say, has this just been here forever? And what a wonderful compliment that is. No, we've not even been there 4 years yet, but it feels like an institution, and that was my hope. So it's been real rewarding. Watching Elm Street and watching that area has certainly been interesting. I was before, the planning for Lula Jane's was before there was a conversation even about McLean Stadium. So we risked a lot at an early time when things looked like East Waco was not happening.
Sure.
And it's been wonderful to watch it happen.
And how cool it is to be a part of that, but not with the sole onus of money-making.
Oh, no, we never.
With the onus of creating a community-driven
Absolutely.
Area.
Absolutely. My goal is always, it's okay not to make money. It is not okay to lose money.
That's so great. Say that one more time for our listeners.
It's okay not to make money, but it is not okay to lose money. So I don't mind being an even status quo and helping the community. I love doing that. So the goal for Lula Jane's was not that it would make money, but that it would sustain and be self-supporting. And it's certainly been more than that. But then our job is to turn around and do more in East Waco with those funds that are coming into Lula Jane's. And we're true to that. We have bought about 9 lots of infill, which means available lots within neighborhood blocks where houses already exist. And the city of Waco says when you buy those lots, please make your goal building homes. And we are true to that commitment that we made when we bought those lots from the city. So that's part of the movement now with the housing that we're designing for East Waco.
Yeah, you've come a pretty circuitous route to being a restaurateur and now to being a home designer and builder. Talk a little bit about the educational and life experiences you had before then that inform what you're doing today.
Well, I do have a PhD in cognitive development with an emphasis also in social psychology. And if you look at social psych, it really offers us the answers to most of the questions and problems of today if we would just read the research and pay some attention and use some innovation when we apply that research so that it's successful within today's time format. And I was a school teacher early on, and so a lot of the things I've done, I've had businesses before, and I've had the charter school, the Rappaport Academy. So budgeting and financing has been a part of what I've learned. I would say all my learning, of course, I've baked all my life, and so I don't have a formal chef's training. And I just apply what I've learned. And one of my other goals is to do everything we do with excellence in mind. So you do your research, you do your planning, you do your testing out, and then you apply what you see is successful. And that has certainly helped me look at what might be appropriate in the development of an area that has been forgotten for many years. One thing that most people don't realize is that East Waco has a pretty high home ownership rate. But that's because traditionally the homes are passed down generation to generation, which is fabulous because what you have now in East Waco is a solid base of traditional, culturally based families who know each other. And it's a rich heritage that we are now trying to inject change into. And we need to do that responsibly.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on KWBU 103.3 FM. I'm your host, Austin Meek, speaking with Nancy Grayson, entrepreneur from the east side of Waco. Now, Nancy, in talking about understanding the heritage of the area and continuing to strengthen that through the community, in this cottage project that your husband and you have undertaken, you've been very deliberate in choosing the materials that will be used to construct the building.
We have. We're deliberate first in the design process to look at how can we make these houses sustainable over time with minimal care? How can we make them sustainable for 100 years so that they're still here like many of the homes in East Waco are 100 years old? How can we also design so that during the months that are pleasant environmentally, weather-wise, we can open windows and still not have neighbors that can look into your windows, but also apply the airflow patterns and not have to use the energy. So we want to be energy conscious, energy efficient, sustainable, and our materials speak to that. But the design is also, all of our homes will be 1890 through about 1930 in the style, because that's the style of home that exists in East Waco. So we're not trying to come in and say, let's build a 2016-looking home that doesn't fit within the neighborhood, but let's build it so it's modern, it's efficient, it's effective, it's sustainable, and it contributes to community life. It's got front porches, they have back porches, they have front walkways, they have wide steps, all of the pieces that lend to people getting to know their neighbors, and that's based on research. So if we pay attention, we can do a developmental process that honors the neighborhood, not changes the neighborhood, but honors the neighborhood. And the folks over there have been so supportive and so wonderful, and it's just been a richer experience for us to get to know our neighbors over there.
I would imagine you have a pretty nuanced view of the phrase gentrification. What does that word mean to you?
Oh, gentrification is painful. It is.
I mean, that's
painful.
A very hot topic
it
issue
is.
In urban
and
planning.
And I fight that emotionally
so
and
for our
cognitively.
Listeners, for our listeners who aren't familiar with what gentrification would be, essentially it's the influx of more affluent residents into a neighborhood, which often results in increased property values, but it displaces a lot of the lower income families and the small businesses. And so part of that sounds great. You know, we're infusing new life into this area. Mm-hmm. But if it's not done with intentionality, it can lead to a loss of that culture that has been building for hundreds of years.
That's true. And I fight that in my thinking as I go forward with change for East Waco. I look at Austin and East Austin that has certainly had a huge – gentrification has had a huge impact. Dallas's Bishop Arts area. Then when property values rise – the taxes rise, and some folks who've lived there for generations can't afford to pay the taxes, and then they're forced to move. I don't want that to happen. I don't exactly know the answer, but I do have some ideas that I will bounce off with city council. But I'm also building small cottages, not grandiose homes, that I think would more negatively impact the ability for people to stay in their neighborhoods. So we're trying hard. We're also looking at, within this scope of change, how do we make it more efficient for the city? So when you build on narrow lots, you have a smaller footprint. It's more affordable for the city to apply the utilities to those homes because they're more closely clustered. And so it's the hope that that doesn't increase the cost to the city for city services and then increase the cost to the individual houses based on that. So there's a lot of deliberateness and there's a lot of intentionality in the way I've tried to think and problem solve before we've impacted in a negative way. And that's hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, with being the first project, you know, with this cottage specifically and not knowing the ramifications of how it will turn out, it is important to tread gingerly and to get people involved, to get the community involved with the process and have them know what's happening and make sure it's something, you know, this is what our plan is, but if the community is not backing it, this isn't going to be a successful venture. No one's going to want to live in this house if you are ostracized by the other people in the community because they feel like you're coming in and mucking up the flow.
That's right.
And one thing that I think is so interesting that you've done with this cottage and are planning on doing with the future cottages is the pricing. So the way that Nancy described it to me last week when she was giving me a tour was that after construction commences, there will be a sign put out in front of the cottage that says to the dollar and cent what was spent to construct this house. And at that point, people can make bids, exactly what you were saying. It's okay to not make money, but it's not okay to lose money. Mm-hmm. People can make a bid starting at that amount, and whoever has the highest bid at the end of, say, 30 days gets it.
That's true. That fulfills several initiatives that help us assure that we're doing the right thing. In that, we will build one cottage. If it sells, we will build cottage two. If the message from the community is, don't buy this house, there's no point in building more in a fruitless effort to help out in a way that's not received that way. So, yes, we don't need to make money off these homes, but we don't need to lose. So we will post, first the sign will say for sale, and there's an info box out front, and that will tell exactly to the penny how much that house cost. And it depends on how badly you want the cottage. If you want the cottage just for that amount, then offer that amount. If you want it more than someone else, offer more. But we will take those funds to begin Cottage 2. So Cottage 1, Cottage 2 happens in a fashion as they sell, which tells us there's demand for what we're doing. And they will all be different. They'll be different sizes. The second cottage is 1,100 square feet, which is probably the largest we will do. But they will change, and they will vary in their style of what they look like. But they will all be based on contributing to neighbors getting to know neighbors.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on KWBU. We're talking with Nancy Grayson of Lula Jane's in East Waco. Nancy, when you think about Waco as it is today, and you think about Waco when you first came, and specifically for the East Side, what changes do you think have been wrought specifically from the development of Lula Jane's? And how do you see that neighborhood progressing in the next 10, 15 years?
Directly from Lula Jane's. I see developers on the street every day. And many of them come in to ask questions at Lula Jane's. I think the energy and the momentum is building so rapidly. When I built Lula Jane's, people said, Nancy, in your lifetime, you will not see the change you think will happen. And I said, I think it will happen in 5 years. And it looks like it's happening in 5 years, which is kind of eerie.
Does that scare you at all? Like other people coming in who might not have the same vision?
It scares me if the intentionality is simply the mighty dollar. That worries me because a lot of things can happen that are not positive in the name of making money. Greed moves people in different ways. I don't mind people making money, but they need to make money in a socially responsible way for the heritage and history of East Waco. So, yes, it worries me. So I don't want to see a big developer come in and make everything modern and money-oriented. I would love to see an eclectic destination Elm Street where little shops and individuals can use their entrepreneurial spirit to open restaurants, shops, attorneys' offices, whatever, that draw people to East Waco to be there. Not, I'm going to Lula Jane's on my way to, but I'm going to Lula Jane's because I'll be on the east side. And how cool would that be? You can walk across the bridge from downtown and be part of that vibrant evolving of East Waco.
I was so surprised sitting on the back porch of cottage number one with you at how clearly I saw the Alico building. It is so close to downtown.
It's right there. You can see McLean Stadium from the front porch. You can see the Alico from the back porch. Walking to East Waco is so easy.
Who are some other individuals or businesses that are in East Waco that listeners of ours should support? People who have bought into this community idea and other people that you really feel are coming alongside of you in this fight. Is there anyone that you could really highlight who are ideologically in line with what your vision is for East Waco?
Well, let me say there are people who preceded me. And there's certainly the backbone of the viability of East Waco and Elm Street. That's DeMaria's Barbecue, Marilyn Banks Gift Gallery, and the Jockey Club Barbershop. Those three, I would say, are the pillars that have supported East Waco all this time for generations, particularly DeMaria's with generations. They're in their third generation. And Marilyn's been there forever. The Jockey Club, talk about a gathering point. Whoa, it's so cool. So anything we do now builds on their great spirit of Elm Street happens. And so far, we're not seeing a tremendous amount of visible movement. It's an undercurrent that's happening, and it will begin to emerge in the next year. The art house on the corner is the old theater, and that's Doreen Ravenscroft. And then I understand that Common Grounds and those folks are doing something with Milo's.
Sure. So Milo is consistent of Blake Batson, who owns Common Grounds, along with his wife Kimberly, and Corey McIntyre, the chef. And they have plans to put a storefront right there on Elm, very close to Lula Jane's. Also joined by a concept called Gumption, which will be a cool little cocktail lounge.
Right. And I think that's great. One of the things we cannot forget, communities are built strong because they have other entities that serve the community. We need a grocery store in the worst way. We need a grocery store. I'm working with Baylor's Entrepreneurship Department to develop a fresh food grocery with some innovative ideas that will draw the neighbors in. So if anyone wants to get on board with that, we're happy to include more of the community in getting that rolling. A small grocery, but if we already have a school, we have a library, we have a fire station, we have a health center. Elm Street is just loaded with services, but no grocery store. So it's time to do those things.
Well, if you have ideas for East Waco, if you want to bounce things off of Nancy, you know where to find her. Find her at Lula Jane's every day. She's there in the garden, or she's across the street at the cottage working on something or other. Nancy, last question for you, and I'll let you get out. When I told people that you were going to be on the show, the number one question folks wanted me to ask, can we get the recipe for your chocolate chip cookies?
Absolutely not.
Well, I guess you're just going to have to go back to Lula Jane's and find a few more of those. Before I get you out of here, you brought a really interesting book. I'd love for you to tell me just a sec what that idea is there.
Pocket Neighborhoods by Ross Chapin, and it includes the research that's out there on building responsibly so that each house becomes a part of the community and the neighborhood and draws people together, strengthening communities through building responsibly.
That's what she's all about. This is Nancy Grayson, one of the pioneers of East Waco, one of many who's working to make it a more thriving and exciting community. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us on Downtown Depot.
Well, thanks for letting me be here. Have a wonderful day.
As you can tell, Nancy is tremendously busy, but she always has time to talk about what's happening on the East Side, so go get a bowl of oatmeal at Lula Jane's and introduce yourself to this civic pioneer. In downtown, a property just went up for sale, and you guessed it, one of our listeners asked me, what's happening here? The submission came via Facebook, where you can find our page, Waco Business News. The address is 611 and 613 Washington Avenue, and you've undoubtedly driven by it dozens of times because it's right at the corner of 6th and Washington across from the courthouse. Tracy and Gina Mon, who own the Cajun restaurant Buzzard Billy's, acquired the buildings in 2010 from Durwood and Jackie Williams. Jackie actually lived in the building with her sister growing up, when the family owned and operated Curry Office Supply, whose name you can still see emblazoned on the structure once the business moved to Washington in 1946. The building survived the tornado, but its neighbor, the three-story YMCA, did not. Now, the two connected buildings total a little less than 12,000 square feet, and there's a balcony facing the courthouse and the open parking lot where the YMCA once stood. According to Gina Mon, the family spent the last few years remodeling the structure, which is now on the market, and have been approached by investors wanting to use it as an artist studio, offices, and even return it to a single-family residence. So if you're interested in owning a piece of downtown history, get in touch with Gina, who's an attorney and is listing the property, and be sure to check out our Waco Business News pages on Facebook and Twitter for lots of pictures of the building. That'll do it for us this week, but tune in next time for even more stories about what's happening in your city. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.